Noah Concordia University, Southern Quebec Inuit Association, Amalou CKUT 90.3 FM.
Good people, to those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
I wanna know what's going on. I wanna love like there's nothing wrong. And the news unfurling, and the wind keep whirling, and the devil's learning, and he's teaching eight so. Where we there? We out, yeah. Where we there? We out, yeah. Where we there? We out, yeah. And we keep on fighting. And we keep on fighting. Me wanna get free from the liars lying with the sheep and the lions trying to defeat. With some inner learning, there's no sleep, 'cause the world keep burning. Where we dead? We out, yeah. Where we dead? We out, yeah. Where we dead? We out, yeah. And we keep on fighting, and we keep on fighting.
Come on. now they them bees. Jesus, violence, ready to shoot. Rat-a-tat-tat, lick off your breadfruit. We need socialism for the ghetto youth, yo. Poor man carry camp on donkey, pan iPhone, rum shop, chill spot. The sound of dominoes, enough good music, hurricane woes, zinc roof gone, shot of Babylon, little youth gone in a school uniform playing football, firm braids on locks, knock on farm, Westmoreland.
Welcome to Savannah, they say, welcome to Savannah.
I can't even remember the first time I went to Jamaica, but every time I go, it's like a spiritual experience. Going back to my mother's land, you know. The sights, the sounds, the smells. It's just beautiful. Learning Patois as a second language as a Jamaican born Afari. Yo, no pretense. Just the residence. Scene. Hey.
Yes, we're back. It is another Tuesday evening, and you are tuned into Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and I'm in studios with
Renee Jordan.
And we have a guest that's back. No stranger to the Soul P airwaves, but if you don't know him, he goes by Jonathan Emile. He is a musician, producer,
businessman.
He wears many hats. Many hats.
I do what I can. And thank God I have a hat today, because I'm thank God it's radio, because I'm having a bad hair day too and everything. So many hats, bad hair day. We good.
Right. So Jonathan, we haven't spoken since last year in August, and when we did the interview with Maxi Priest. So what have you been up to since then?
Gosh, it seems like another lifetime ago now, because you know, just with everything that's going on with the pandemic and just, I mean, the state of affairs in the world has changed so dramatically since last year. I've just continued to do what I've been doing for years. I mean, I had to shift my plans, so all the tour plans were canceled. It was an opportunity to be on tour with Maxi, but that got canceled, and it would have been beautiful to materialize some tour options that I had with Toots, rest in peace, but Toots passed away in August. You know, so what I've done is really just switch my focus to like my online presence, to writing some new music and to planning for the future and adapting to the, you know, the realities of, that were left by COVID. So, really a lot of writing, a lot of online performances, a lot of new business, you know, getting placements and syncs and stuff like that, and just like just planning for the future. That's it. Yeah.
How much has the future changed, and what aspects of music has it changed and evolved, and how have you had to change the way you've been framing your outlook?
You know, from an industry perspective, I think the biggest change really is losing the ability to be on stage, you know, and that is a lot of the energy that I get as an artist is performing in front of people and feeling the energy of the crowd and communicating and having that dialogue with the audience. So that has changed. So I've had to go, you know, and find that energy and look more like within myself for inspiration. You know, just obviously financially, you know, the way that artists make their money is by performing in, you know, festivals or on tour. And then that gives them an opportunity to sell the merchandise and of course the music itself. But with that gone, you just have to be innovative. And I guess I'm I'm fortunate that I've spent a lot of time just focusing on the business side of things, because it's allowed me to pivot pretty quickly. And from a creative standpoint, you know, it's tough not being in a room of creators. You know, as much as we think of artists as solo artists or whatever, you know, like one person brands, it's not like that. You know, like you draw energy from people you're writing with or collaborating with all the time. So that's the main way that, you know, things have changed. There's less, you know, one-on-one contact. There's less studio time with a whole bunch of musicians. It's more, you know, doing what everyone else is doing, Zooms, figuring it out, sending pieces of songs back and forth. The creative process has become really, really, really digitized more than ever before. And then, you know, it's you just got to push yourself to stay inspired, you know.
What are some of the things that you do to stay inspired?
I mean, I'm somebody who's been writing a lot by myself for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I visit the past, right? So it's all about like revisiting the past and dreaming about what the future will be like. And if you can really tap into that and, as an artist, I think, you know, you won't be able to run out of material. And also just looking at the world, you know, fortunately we got rid of 45, and then now we just have to deal with the regular problems that were still there before he came into existence, right? So there's no lack of material, because I'm a social or whatever you want. Some people say I'm political. I don't. I'm a sociological. I'm a humanitarian. I'm a historical artist that looks into these different things and draws inspiration from there. You know, unfortunately, there's no shortage of material. You know, no shortage of injustice or issues that you need to tackle that you can draw fire from and inspiration from. You know.
Okay, so when you talk about the past, you're talking about the historical social past. You're not talking about past writings.
No, I'm talking about like definitely in terms of like what draws inspiration is past events, past writings, and how still they're not reconciled, you know. You can never run out of material if you look at it like that. And one thing you did ask about is, you know, you did say at the top of the show was last time we spoke was when you interviewed Maxi Priest. Mm-hmm. And our relationship has continued, you know, and we have new songs in the works, and other projects in the works as well too. And these are some of the things that we talk about. We build on, you know, and the iteration that comes from struggle and resistance is like, you know, we're still carrying the torch generation after generation. So, I don't think I have any shortage of material and inspiration, but it would be really good to be in a room with
other people.
You know? Yeah, you know, like a real setup and create that way. But I think we'll get back there soon.
I've been noticing some virtual performances, and you see some people in rooms with bands wearing masks, and still at the same time when they speak to the artists after the performance, they just explain how difficult it was to be in a room with no one in front of them, no one screaming back, no feedback. To keep that fire in the performance without having anyone in front of them. Have you tried the virtual performance format?
Yeah, I wanted to jump on that and say you did do a virtual performance fairly recently, I think a month or two ago, in Ottawa with Just Jamal the Poet at his venue. How was that, doing that kind of performance?
You have to let yourself get lost in the music. You really have to let yourself get lost in the intention and the emotion and the strength of what you're saying, you know? It's, you can do it off of the energy outside, but you also can draw in yourself. And honestly, it takes a lot more out of you.
Yeah.
And then there's silence that exists after you've done performance that is very, very bizarre. It's not gratifying. But it's more meditative, you know.
You don't necessarily have that fuel for the next song. Like, okay, they really like it. Let me keep going.
That's it. You know what? You just have to stay in your zone. You know, you really have to stay in your zone and shift the way you think about, you know, the end result, the end product, the end gratification. You know, maybe that comes in tweets, maybe that comes in messages, you know. But you really have to just, it's a shift in thinking, you know. And, you know, I'm lucky that I have music that has a lot of depth to it, you know, just in terms of what I'm writing and speaking about. Because if I was, you know, I was doing songs about, like, everybody in the club get tipsy, like, I'd be like, oh, man, this is really you know?
Oh, they get tipsy at home by themselves, but after a while they get tired.
Everybody in the house get tipsy, you know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, it's, look, there's no way around it. It's challenging. Mm. We really have to tap into ourselves and tap into that endurance that, you know, our grandparents and great grandparents and parents and have faced. You know, it's not, you know, we're not going off to war. We're not in chains. Literally, maybe if we are figuratively, right? It's just a different type of struggle. It's like a mental struggle and a spiritual one too. So, we have to adapt, and we're built for survival. So we go do it. You know, that's what it is.
And what are some of those topics from 2020, 2021 that you have found that you have to speak on? The topics that have moved you.
Well, I mean, of course, the, definitely what was going on in the States with the rise in white supremacy and the resistance from Black Lives Matter, you know, also always all the propaganda that was going around, you know, the misinformation campaign stuff. I felt like I had to speak on that.
Which misinformation?
Oh, well, all this QAnon stuff, you know?
Okay.
All the QAnon stuff and all the fake news and all the disinformation components that, you know, try to pit people against each other. Uh-huh. I'm sure we all know people who get lost in the, you know, vaccine, anti-vaccine, blah 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 campaign and stuff like that, and, you know, lose sight of what's important. You know, the conspiracy theory, you know, the global conspiracy theory stuff. Just the hate against the Asian people, them, and all this type of stuff. I mean, this stuff is going on, right? Mm-hmm. And it's definitely difficult to synthesize and to talk about all this stuff with depth when everything seems so polarized. But, you know, that's the job. That's the job of artists. You know, that's the job of, you know, thinkers, artists, philosophers, whatever you want to say. You know, and how we can help people deal with it or work through it or remind people what we're really all about and how much more connected we are. So, I mean, those are some of the things that I speak, you know, that I've spoken on. And I've written new material too that still has, you know, the world hasn't seen or haven't been able to release yet, but soon come. Yeah.
Right. Go ahead.
What is really real to you, or what do you think is the most important thing that we can draw, or that you've drawn from 2020 and 2021?
Patience. I think we're all really fed up with the state of affairs in the world right now and the lockdowns and all these type of things. But, you know, I think it's so easy because we get everything so quickly and our generation, our lifetime, you know, everything's turnkey. Everything's like, oh, okay, fast food. You just get it and move on. Like, the world, the reality is demanding a level of patience that a lot of us just simply are not prepared for mentally, physically, financially. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that patience is one of the key things, you know? And then that's offset about, offset with, you know, knowing your limits and knowing your boundaries, you know. We're dealing with other people, but also just what you will and will not tolerate, you know, and just protecting your own spiritual zone, you know. Just, you know, knowing what your boundaries are and being realistic with yourself about what those boundaries are, you know. You can be infinitely patient, but you need to, you know, stand up for yourself and let people know, hey, you know, XYZ. I'm protecting my spiritual zone. I'm protecting my people, my community. And this is, you know, I think it gives us an opportunity to really think about who we are as people and what's the most important. And this is the second time I've underwent this exercise, because there's a lot of similarities between, you know, the quarantine that I had to do when I was going through cancer. Same protocol, wearing a mask, washing your hands, you know, isolating yourself, being more in a room, creating. It's just sort of the same exercise that I did years and years ago. And it's very, you know, it's very eerily familiar, I should say, you know.
And I would say that it was out of that first life experience that sort of brought you into your musical career.
Absolutely. You know, that's...
And it's bringing you into the second stage, I guess you could call it, of your musical career, where things are drastically different from back then.
Yeah.
But I guess providing you with a sort of the same opportunities to write.
That's it. You know, honestly, like with everything that's been going on, like I have had, there's less transit time, you know, there's not running around. So I do have a little bit more time to write. And I would like to have even more time to read and stuff, but I definitely have time to like organize my thoughts better and, you know, put things down on paper, you know, take action on things that maybe I wouldn't have as much time to, because, you know, you're dealing with people's chaos and encroachment,
yeah,
all this stuff, you know, and you're spending, I mean, we do spend a lot of time traveling. When you think about how much time you spend on tour, you spend more time driving around than you do on a stage, right? Even going to work, you lose like maybe two and a half hours a day, most people, just in
traffic. That's true.
So if you take that transit time and you put that into meditation or just dreaming or thinking and stuff like that, that might be a different, you know, be a different situation, you know. There's a yin and a yang to everything. As much as I would love to be parties and meeting with friends, you know, the time alone or the time I get to time I spend with my wife, or, you know, or just on FaceTime with my family and friends, it's, you know, you get to carve out time differently. Yeah.
And you mentioned the future, thinking about the future sort of helps you. What does the future look like for, let's say, for someone who's maybe in a dark place or whatever, what to you does the future look like?
Oh, that's a big question. That's a good question. I just keep staring at you on a beach, and I'm like, yeah. I mean, it is a fake beach.
On my Zoom beach, my fake beach. I hope the future looks like this.
I think my future looks like a future with a little more self-determination and a little more control of outcomes and stuff like that. You know, that's just really optimistic. You know, for people who are in dark places, you know, this will not and cannot last forever, you know. And
the world
just goes
has been
back
through worse.
I mean, the world has very well been through worse, you know, like, it's hard for us to know that, because our memories, you know, 15 years, 20 years old, you know what I mean? Like, we're all kids 20 years ago, you know. But, you know,
not all of us.
You're still a kid. You're still a kid, right? Okay, why I talk? But yeah, I mean, the world has been through, I think, worse, but it's been different. The thing about this is it's different. People are just not ready. The level of lockdown and the level of government regulations, we're not built for this. You know, we weren't. It wasn't promised to us. Like,
I think also the speed of the information coming at us, and the fact that information is so different coming from all the different corners, so we're not getting the same consistent information everywhere that we're looking. I think that has been a major, major problem. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Jonathan Emile. We are going to go to a quick break. Keep it locked. You are tuned into Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
I wanna be free.
I wanna be free.
I wanna just canopy.
He could be a thing of the past. Some things are just not built to last.
And maybe we're just moving too fast.
Moving too fast.
This too shall come to pass.
It's amazing, hey, forget the frustration. Overstand underground was the station. Come true to the destination, hey, and feel the vibration. European, American, African, Asian, out of many one nation.
He could be a thing of the past. Some things are just not built to last.
And I just wanna rock it with you.
Yes, yes, we're back, we're back, we're back. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, this is Tuesday evening, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominic Ferguson, and I'm in studios with...
Renee Jordan.
And we have Jonathan Emil on the line, musician, businessman, multiple hat wearer. We'll just call him the Mad Hatter. We'll call you the Mad Hatter of hip-hop. And reggae.
You're not in studio. You're up on Zoom. What do you say?
Studio, Zoom, 601, half dozen of the other. All
it's
right.
Good to be. I'm actually honored that you, you know, you asked me to be your first guest back. So it feels good to talk.
Well, you know, guys, we had to take a little break because, you know, it was a long. It was a long and torrentious period between the Christmas into the new year and so on. So, you know, now we're ready, we're back, and we're taking them by the reins. We're taking it, taking the bull by the horns, as we say in the Caribbean. So what I've always enjoyed about your work is that you've always kind of been on top of the trend. So you always release work that is talking about the current trend. And I'm on TikTok a lot, and I'm trying to stay on top of everything. And one of the sayings that I notice that our people, black people specifically, love to say is, "Y'all don't want none of this smoke." And you released a track recently called "No Smoke," which we'll be playing later on the air. But tell us a little bit about how that came about. How did this track come about?
Just pure frustration. Mm-hmm. Frustration of dealing with nonsense that people throw at you. Frustration with injustice, frustration with how slow things are moving. And the song is just about people trying your patience, you know? It's almost like a prayer, like, "Oh, cha-cha, give me strength not to deal with these foolish people," you know? Like, that's it. So it's like, "No Smoke" is just like, this, you have not seen me, you know, go nuclear. You have not seen me like lose it, you know. Just
I don't want
that smoke.
Don't bring this smoke, because where there's smoke, there's fire.
There's fire, exactly.
Exactly.
So that's right. What the song is about, you know. And in the visuals, I do something, you know, in the verses, because I rap on this one, so. Right now, sort of what I'm doing is like swing the pendulum back towards hip hop, and like just going back from reggae to hip hop, reggae to hip hop. So now it's like just coming and swinging back. So you're gonna see more me dropping more verses and doing more like contemporary hip hop stuff. But the idea
contemporary hip hop. Define contemporary hip hop.
I mean, over, like, you know, what's hot right now. Like Kim said, what's on trend. So some more trap inspired beats.
Okay.
Some more, you know, I like to blend the both. So we do like trap inspired beats with organic elements on it. And just do things that sort of fit within the rhythm of right now. I started that a bit on the album I did a couple years ago called Phantom Pain. But I think this one is a more well-articulated that, you know, you can have that substance over the contemporary sort of rhythms that are available in hip-hop with the heavy 808s and the more darker feel and tone and stuff like that. You could do it, but it's just a lot more work, right? It's easy to be hibbity-hibbity on one of those beats, right? But if you're going to try to put some content or layer some emotion on it, it's J. Cole does that very well, you know? Other artists do that very well too, but that's just one person. So that's sort of like the challenge, is just staying true to what it is that I want to communicate in my voice, but doing it over a style that is very much like right now, you know? So that's No Smoke. And No Smoke is, you know, I touch on police brutality. I touch on, again, this theme of self-determination and then patience as well. Just like knowing that, you know, my anger and my frustration needs to be channeled towards productivity and not just, you know, just out there for exactly, you know what I mean? Just challenge that anger, challenge that frustration into something productive. Also another thing that I learned earlier on in my life, and I'm staying on that train, that wave.
So what do you want folks to take from No Smoke?
I want them to feel the energy. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all locked in our rooms. You know, we're all frustrated. I want them to tap into that energy. But I also want them to let loose a little bit too, you know?
Yeah.
To just wild out to something and just lock into the circumstance of the song, you know? We're all feeling that frustration, so just lock into the circumstances and just dance to it, you know, have fun to it. That's important. And that's sort of like why I took the approach with this song to just release it on TikTok and Instagram, you know, to just have it in the format of the now, have a sound for the now in the format of the now, but communicate those necessary messages the messages I feel are necessary.
Right. When you're doing your music, because you're not only a singer, songwriter, producer, you also have businesses on the side. How do you balance your music life with your business life?
The escape. That's the escape.
It's the escape. Which one is the escape? The business or the music?
Side is the
one to the next.
Yeah. Every time. I'm just trying to articulate how I'm feeling or my emotions, or I have an inspiration that, you know, doesn't fit into a box, I put it into the music. Okay. You know, I put it into writing. You know, going back, I hate to, you know, keep harping on this, but going back to when I was going through cancer and everything, that was the way that I used to organize my emotions and my thoughts, right? So music really is the escape. You know, it's where I can be 100% who I am, and if anyone really listens to my music, they'll know exactly what I'm all about. It's layered, but it's pretty obvious, you know. I just tell you straight up, you know. So, you know, and no one can come to me and say like, oh, I'm so surprised about, no, I was all there. I've done been screaming it from the hilltops for years, right?
Yes.
So I mean, for me, that's like total freedom, you know. That is where I dive into to get an escape. So the balance, you know, the album that I put out before is called Spaces in Between, right?
Right.
And I'd always have to go between school and writing and work and writing and, you know, and obligations, business obligations or family obligations and writing. And it's those spaces in between at transit time where I would write a lot of my music. So I think kind of with the way things are right now, it's just giving me even more time to write. So more time to escape.
Now, you mentioned that you released it on TikTok and Instagram. Why did you choose those outlets to release your music? Is that like a stream that an artist can use to sort of make money, or is
for the fans? Definitely, you could use that as a stream to make money. But, you know, those platforms are, especially TikTok, I hadn't put anything on TikTok. I just didn't dive in. And, you know, even Kim has been telling me, it's like, yo, you should be on TikTok. You know, do something on TikTok. But I really didn't know. I really just wanted to stay true to how I like to write and how I like to perform and what messages I wanted to. So I just had to find the right way of doing that. So No Smoke was a way of doing that. And it really sort of organized my thoughts and, okay, what's going to come next for that platform? Because every day there's like a new platform, and it only really works if you dive into it in an authentic way. That's the only way that, you know, you can connect with people.
Yeah.
So I've never had so many 11-year-olds following my music in my life. But yo, Jaja, yo, Les, like, yo, TikTok is where it's at. they're doing the dance challenge and stuff like that. It's wicked. You know, I have people all over the world doing this No Smoke dance challenge. So it's nice. It's cool. It's funny. It's fun. It's fun. Yeah.
But that's the thing about a new medium, right? It's like not all the mediums are going to fit, but there's some of them that will. And I've been on TikTok a lot, and I find that if you are musically inclined, TikTok is a good avenue for that. Because if you just take a minute or 30 seconds, or some people even just take 15 seconds, you know, and they do a full choreography within those 15 seconds. It can go really, really far. So it's just a matter of picking the right section of your song to really get people hyped up about it. And I tell, like, to me, if you're a DJ, if you're a musician, if you're a poet, myself included, like, I need to get on that, because once someone picks up your work, and then it can just spiral very, very quickly and get out there in a much quicker way than somebody coming to SoundCloud and looking for you and clicking on your name, you know?
Yeah.
Because what I like about TikTok is that it allows, unless the person like takes your music and like puts it on their own thing without linking it back to you, it allows people to actually click on it and go to your page. So they'll see the original song. Or they'll see the original track, so it's really quite innovative that way.
I'm still learning about this. I have some. I have my younger brothers. He's like 21 years old. He's the one who's taking care of this. But yeah, whatever you said. But yeah, I mean, like it's wild. It's wild. It's like I find it so frenetic and like what's going on? Okay, this. Okay, that. You know, it's like it's definitely a different speed that I'm used to operating at, but mm-hmm. It actually reminds me of being on stage a little bit, because everything is like, it's happening very fast, you know, whether it's song switches or interacting with the audience or it reminds me of freestyling too, right? Because, you know, when you're in your mind and through people are throwing you words and you're catching them and just coming up with the next sentence or whatever, like it's that type of energy. So right. Sometimes I'd be on TikTok for like an hour, I'd be like, whoa, okay, I'm right here.
And it goes very quickly.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It's like, what did I just watch? Why am I watching this? You know what I mean? You have to, it's interesting. It's interesting. Yeah,
for sure. All right, just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are talking to Jonathan Emile, just released the new track called No Smoke, talking about frustration and just don't want to have to deal with it. Y'all don't want to come for this smoke. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are CKUT Soul Perspectives, and you are listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
Pop, pop, pop.
Yes, yes, we're back. It's Tuesday evening, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. I'm in studios with...
CKUT is hiring a spoken word coordinator. Do you have a passion for storytelling and amplifying perspectives outside of the mainstream media landscape? Are you interested in working at a collectively run, independent community radio station? CKUT's Spoken Word Coordinator is a full-time position starting June 1st that is responsible for the coordination of all CKUT's spoken word programming and is part of CKUT's Collective Management Committee. The position is 35 hours a week, pays $18.36 an hour, and applications will be accepted until 9 a.m. on May 3rd, 2021. Please visit ckut.ca for more details. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
The alert level in your region or a neighboring region is red. To curb the spread of COVID-19, gatherings with family and friends in private homes and yards are prohibited. Travel between regions should be avoided, and traveling to yellow zones is forbidden. It's forbidden to leave your home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. Visit quebec.ca/coronavirus to learn more about the other measures in place. Follow all the rules, all the time, no exceptions. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Renee Jordan.
And on the line, we have the one and only Jonathan Emile, multiple hat wearer. We just dubbed him the Mad Hatter of hip-hop because the man just wears multiple hats. He's a reggae artist, a hip-hop artist. He's a restaurateur, a businessman, entrepreneur, producer, writer. You name it, he probably got it. he's a one-stop talk shop.
I'm just a creative. That's what I like to call myself, a creative. I know it's a cliche, but I'm just a creative. You know?
Yeah. So as like we said, you have multiple businesses. You work on multiple different things, and one of them is you're a restaurateur. You have a restaurant that's down by the Canal Lachine.
Notre Dame
and Atwater, right? So tell us, how has that business survived throughout COVID?
You know, it's been going quite well, actually, and it's tough to say because a lot of businesses just weren't ready for the pivot to online. You know, from having a background in online all the time, and just staying a little bit of ahead of the news, we were able to see this coming. In fact, we shut our dining room before the premier asked the restaurants to shut the dining rooms. And we modified our menu, and we made it basically a delivery-only model ahead of everybody else. Because we saw the wave coming. My sister, she lives in Singapore, and she's married to an Italian. And his mom was in Milan, which is the first place in Europe to get hit with the coronavirus. I don't know if you guys remember all the way back at the beginning, but it was in Milan and Lombardia where it really hit. So even on Christmas 2019, my sister was like, oh, there's something happening in China, and they're just starting to shut down the airports and the train stations. And she was on her way back to Singapore. And when she got there, you know, it was basically in full swing, and they were trying to warn the rest of the world, hey, be careful, there's something, there's a wave coming. And then, you know, and sort of the Western arrogance is like, ah, it could never happen to us, you know, like we have a robust democracy, and very. And then Italy. And then, you know, at that time, you know, that's when I sat down with my business partners, and I said, we have to figure out how to deal with this, because we could see exactly how it's happening. You know, it's not like I divined this. You just saw it coming. So Sudwest Gyro Company and my partners, we changed the model a little bit, and we just prepared ourselves. You know, we reduced the amount of staff that we have. Not in terms of letting anyone go, but in terms of reducing the time of their shifts so we could retain everybody. And we started promoting and pushing more online. And we actually, my partner came up with an idea to help frontline workers, because we knew it was going to be a wave. So we said, you know, let's help feed the frontline workers, because they're going to be there all day and they're not going to have time to cook. So we did a promotion where people could buy a meal for themselves and then buy a meal for the frontline workers at cost, or people in the CLSCs and in the old folks' homes in the hospital. So we did that from the very, very beginning, and it worked for us, and it was very helpful to a lot of people. So we've been continuing to do things like that. And you know, with everything happening, a lot of restaurants have switched to online model only, and they've had to, right? So over the last few weeks, I've been working on this concept where basically local restaurant owners can go reach customers outside of their immediate delivery zone. And now, you know, we're launching a program talking to different restaurants and saying, hey, you know what, for a very small fee, you guys can, you know, set up like sort of like a trampoline. So let's say you're not in Ville Saint-Laurent, like your restaurant is in downtown or the East End, but you want to reach more customers. We have a hub over there where we can take some like ready-to-made lunches and foods and stuff, and we can set up a little micro franchise, a virtual franchise for your restaurant. So that's enabling local business owners to like reach out beyond their immediate footprint and to like make up some of that cost, you know, that they're losing in foot traffic or people walking in or suddenly on call and stuff like that. So just being in the restaurant world a little bit, and you know, I came up with this marketing idea and talked to the rest of the people on my team, and they're like, okay, yeah, let's go do it. So now we're partnering with different restaurant owners to get them more customers. At the end of the day, we just get them more customers. Yeah.
And how far has that extended your range?
The range for the restaurant, it's added 200,000 people that we're able to reach now.
So what areas are you operating in, just in case, you know, someone's listening and they're hungry?
Henry. That's right. Henry. But very soon we will be able to have reach in DDO, Ville Saint-Laurent, Town of Mount Royal, Hampstead, and Côte Saint-Luc. So the new idea that we're launching, and we're actually looking to partner with local restaurants, no big franchises, I'm looking to partner with local restaurants that want to reach a bigger audience. And we'll do that from a hub, like up near IKEA there, and there's our partnership with Skip the Dishes and all these people. We can extend like a bigger network to include like 200,000 new customers. So that's one project that I'm really like working on, and I'm particularly passionate about, because it doesn't only help me in my one alone restaurant, but you know, there's so many restaurants that need more customers, you know. So yeah.
Interesting. It's interesting that you've lent a hand out to other restaurants. You know, you recognize the umbrella of local entrepreneurs in need of help and providing a way for them to sort of survive this and maybe even thrive within this pandemic time. What are some places that or where can people look to find the rest of the restaurants that you're partnering with, or to find out how they can access this network of restaurants that are outside of their area?
Yeah, we'll be launching the website before the end of this month. So for now, if you just want to follow me on social media, Jonathan Emil, on everywhere, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, please do that. And, you know, if you have a restaurant you think that could benefit from this, you know, just send me a message, you know. You know, I have to emphasize that, it's not just me, right? It's really not just, you know, cult of personality, whatever, you know, it's a team of people. But also it's in the restaurant world, you're just surrounded by some people, and, you know, you could see them as your competitors. Same with music, you know, you could see your other musician as your competitors, but, you know, I'm just really motivated by the collective movements. For real, like it's not me alone, it's I and I, it's, you know, like helping out. So I'm gonna go to talk to people at Season Dreams and Tropical. I'm gonna go talk to some people I know who own sushi restaurants and some other people, you know, like just talk to everyone and say, look, here's a solution. Because at the end of the day, you know, we're not really competing with each other, we're competing with the Goliaths and, you know, the monsters that exist out there, right? So they have their place, and you know, we, the only way we could really blossom is if we blossom, you know, if we grow together and coordinate and organize, you know. So that's just a personal social philosophy, and it's the same way with music as it is with, you know, with business. Yeah.
And I don't know if we had, when you first came out with the restaurant, if we had asked you this, but why did you decide to go into the restaurant business?
Growing up, I've always wanted to just have a restaurant or be able to, there's probably no more of a cultural or emotional experience you can have than eating food, especially with people you love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And feeding people. I mean, like, you know, music nourishes the soul, but, you know, feeding people, I mean, you know, they say, like, what's the way to a man or a woman's heart?
Through their stomach.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the way to a woman's heart, but, you know.
Listen.
It could work for me, but I don't know.
Listen. Listen. Everybody needs to eat.
There's no more human thing than eating and feeling people. Well, there's a lot of other human things, but eating and feeling and feeding someone is a very, very beautiful, intimate moment. And I'll send you guys a link after something that I produced on this. But I don't know. It's when I was growing up, with every meal, my parents would pair it with music. Right, so we'd have dinner. We'd say grace. Okay, we'd sit down, and then food would come, and then they would say, okay, this is a new type of music. And sometimes it would be opera. It would be, you know, klezmer. They're really cool people that introduce us to all types of different types of music. Mm-hmm. So like how you pair a meal with food and with wine, it's like that's life. That's life experiences. You know what I mean? Like it's like when we talk about Montreal and Joie de Vivre, that's it. You know, like that's, you know, just living a good life and having like amazing experiences and authentic experiences. So with food, I mean, it seemed to me like it's just something that I always wanted to do. And my, you know, growing up in high school, a friend of mine, we came up with an idea, like one day we should do a mashup of Greek culture and Jamaican culture, and we're going to have jerk chicken gyros. And it took us 15 years, but we did it, you know, like we did it. We need to do it better, you know, all these things can get better and more refined, but like, you know, it's just like It comes from an idea and a desire to do something and say, okay, let's see how far we can take it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's so this was from high school?
Yeah.
Interesting. You had this dream in high school and you brought it to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, it took a little while. It took some opportunities and there's other just cool things that I want to do. Just like even with this concept is getting a whole bunch of smaller restaurants together and being able to team up and bring food to a wider audience and stuff like that. That's cool. And this new.
And then you have to put out an album with recipes. And maybe they can call the restaurant and order up the recipe that goes with, you know, song track one, track two.
Balsamic vinegar reduction, you know, like.
Can I get a track 5 and 7?
It makes sense. It's a sidestep a little bit. Recently, we lost an icon in the hip hop community. DMX was fighting for his life last weekend, and he did pass away this week. How did you take that news? Like as a member of the hip hop community,
a lot of people seem to be shocked and surprised by it. But I think, I mean, first of all, it hurts. But I think that if people who really followed DMX and really knew his stories and knew his struggle. And knew his fight with addiction from the age of, was it 13 or 14 years old, and knew the pitfalls and the hurdles that he had to go through, and the, you know, I think, I'm not sure if anyone who would really follow DMX would be really that surprised that he passed so young.
Yeah,
he had a tough life. You know, I had a really hard life, a very, really intense life, and a life filled with a lot of stress on his body from the way he would cope with his demons. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And what he would cope with his demons. So when I heard that he was going into the hospital, I it's sort of like when you heard the whole thing about when Michael Jackson died at age of 52. Yeah. It's shocking, but it's at the same time, it's... I mean, this man lived a full and difficult life, you know. And it's what I think is cool about it is that, you know, when he did pass and move on, he had, you know, made peace with his ex-wife. They've been through trials and tribulations together, and he was on his way. He was engaged to be married again, and he was, you know. I feel like he was in a much better place than he'd been in for a long time, you know? So all we could do is just thank him for the work, man. Thank him for the incredible energy and what he did for the genre, but mostly like what he did for people, you know, to hype them up, to lift them up, to, you know, make them lose their mind up in here, you know, like he just made some incredible, incredible music, you know? You know, it's, you know, my condolences to everyone who like knew him personally and who really, you know, really was a super fan of his, you know. I've always been a fan of his, and you know, I saw how difficult his life has been, you know, and yeah, I mean, I hope that he's at peace, you know. I rest in power, and that's it, you know.
Yeah. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are talking to Jonathan Emile, and you are listening to Soul Perspective. We're going to take a quick break. Keep it locked. You are listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
I'll get boo. champion. We are gonna build empire, come fall a Babylon, because every empire needs an empress. That's why my flow stays so relentless. I got my love fresher than the dentist. Proud as the black fist, large as the Atlas. Why? Baby, what we know what I want. But it's like sorry, Cornwall, Montreal. It's all my peace up, no matter what I want. Anywhere in the whole world that you are, baby, I need your love. That's the reason why I wrote this stuff. To let you know that you're the one. To let you know that the love not enough.
My body and soul is what I got. Once you get a touch, I'll enchant you to new life.